Hey guys, welcome back to our What's Up podcast. Today we'll be having our 10th episode. And so if you've been keeping up with us so far, thank you for listening. So today we'll be tackling sort of a more sensitive topic. But originally in our podcast, when we were starting out, we did want to like talk about social injustice and issues that are affecting the world right now, like current events and stuff. So this is pretty well aligned with what we wanted to do for like our vision of the podcast. And so specifically, we'll be talking about the George Floyd incident, as well as just in general, inequality and racism in America today. And so before we start our discussion today, though, I just want to say, put out a disclaimer that we are definitely not experts on this topic. And so, you know, take what we say with a grain of salt and realize that we're also just trying to learn more about, you know, what happened, the history behind all of this injustice in America, and also what we can do to help. So we'll start off today with a brief just overview of what actually happened. So on May 25th, a man named George Floyd went into a grocery store to buy cigarettes with a $20 bill. The guy working at the store, he called the police because he thought the bill was a counterfeit bill. And so the police came to check out the situation, but it got escalated to the point where a police officer put Floyd on the ground and restrained him by putting his knee on his neck with his body weight. And so he kept doing this for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And by the end of that time, George Floyd was unresponsive and was not moving at all. The police released a statement later saying that Floyd physically resisted the officers. But if you watch the video that was taken by some bystanders, it doesn't really show any clear evidence of him resisting at all. So, yeah, that's pretty much the synopsis. Oh, and then so far right now, the main police officer who was involved with this, the guy who was putting his knee on Floyd's neck, his name is Derek Chauvin, and he is charged with second-degree murder right now. And then the three other officers that were there and also involved are charged for aiding and abetting second-degree murder slash manslaughter right now. So, what do you guys think about the situation just in general so far?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really good synopsis on you. It's a pretty tragic incident. And I was reading more about it. And I think, especially as someone who's learning more about the medical field now, just the symptoms that George Floyd experienced and his medical condition throughout those 8 minutes and 46 seconds, it was really brutal, to be perfectly honest. And the fact that he kept on saying that he couldn't breathe and the officers didn't let go, I think it really just, it's pretty concerning. And I'm really just blown back by the fact that that type of brutality exists and that type of racism is just so blatant. And it's not even like this was a special incident. I think the scariest thing was that this was sort of out in the ordinary. I'm really struck by it. And I think right now, right where I live, there's a lot of people who are protesting downtown. A lot of people who are really outspoken. So I'm just happy that's happening and more people are becoming cognizant of the fact that this type of injustice is happening around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, like because of the pandemic that's still going around, like I'm not able to go out as much and see like how it is in my area. But like when I went grocery shopping yesterday, I saw, I mean, there weren't like protests at like the grocery store, but there were definitely like people with like signs on the car saying that like Black Lives Matter and things like that. So even if it's not like active like protests, there's still like you can still see signs and things throughout the areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I live in Minnesota, so it's been I guess, pretty close to the situation. Like, if I turn on the TV and watch the local news, mostly it's about any protests or, like, any progress with, you know, with persecuting the officers or anything like that. It's all related to the incident. And so it's been kind of very, like, very close, I guess. And I cannot, like, go a day without thinking about it. And also, like, not just because I'm close to it, but a lot of people on social media have been posting about it on their stories, making like Instagram posts or Facebook posts. And I think it's been good. It's been good to be exposed to this every day. Because before, I hadn't really been thinking about racial injustice specifically very much in my day-to-day life, but I think it's been a really good wake-up call. And yeah, I feel like it's been, like, it's kind of late, but I'm glad that it's, like, that I'm kind of being forced to think about it more these days.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, all three of us aren't African American, and I can't fathom the type of injustice that happens in the normal day lives of others who are, and that we just don't know about. And I really think that part of the reason why this situation blew up so much more than other instances of police brutality on African Americans was because of the coronavirus epidemic as well. Because if you just look at statistics of how it impacts just different racial groups, it's clear that a lot of the brunt of the damage of coronavirus and people who are ill and being poorly treated are those in the African American community. So I think just that, in addition to the fact that this happened, it really just blew up and a lot of people came to know this incident a lot more.
Yeah, so I guess kind of just today, in terms of what we're talking about, we wanted to kind of go over some specific points. There's a lot of different things we could talk about, but we wanted to focus on like what's probably most important, at least in our view. So I guess first we want to talk about just looking at kind of what happened. Like, it was a pretty clear form of police brutality, and so we want to talk about the history of police. Like, where did this institution even start out from? Like, what was the point of having a police force? And so, do you guys have any insights with that?
Yeah, so I originally had always thought that the police was, you know, just part of any type of typical civilization, you know, like that just comes along with the government. But Youngjun suggested to us a really good idea about looking further into it and seeing what the history was. So I think as we were researching, it turns out that the police force is actually not that old. It didn't really start with the start of America, but it was established. I think the first official police force was started in Boston in 1838 to just monitor trade ships and making sure that robberies weren't happening on the exports and the imports. Before then, in colonial America, they had like watchmen, people who just volunteered out of the community to just watch the community each day, and then they just rotated around. So that first official police force in Boston was the first instance of, I think, an institutionalized police force. And the one of the things that we found that was really striking was that, so the role of the police during that time in the 19th century, it really varied on the type of community the police was in. So in Boston, for example, the police served monitoring and managing those trade exports and imports. But in the South, they were used for primarily just control of the slave trade and making sure that slaves during that time were managed properly. So catching runaways or preventing slave revolts. And that was the main role of the police in the South during that time, which is really just, it's pretty tragic and striking. And it's really sad that that's how things started. And it was also during that time, a lot of the police were appointed by party leaders. So a lot of it was not really unbiased, or the process itself wasn't unbiased. But it was very dependent on who was in charge.
Yeah, for me, it was definitely like shocking to see, just because of, you know, how the current situation like is right now, and like what we're trying to like figure out and go on like solve, how something, I wouldn't say similar, but like, you know, like the police force and the slaves, which I'm guessing like are in that time, it was, the slaves are predominantly African-American. And so like that conflict between like police forces and the African-Americans, like that had like started ever since like the police force started. So I'm surprised, like I'm actually kind of like disappointed at myself for not like realizing this, because I feel like, you know, with so many things happened, because this isn't the first case that police force brutality had occurred. I think there were many instances, like not even within this year, and like previous years, that this has happened. And I'm thankful that, you know, we're actually like, people are actually very like serious about this, and we're trying to like demand change. But it's very very unfortunate and very sad about all the people that it took to like get to this point. But optimism over pessimism, forward not backwards.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like so like this institutionalized racism has been going on for so long against Black people, and like this one incident has sparked a lot of people's like trying to become more educated, but it's pretty crazy. Like there's so many incidents that have happened. Like in Minneapolis, I forget, there was another person like many years, like 6 years ago or something, that was I think he was shot while he was driving or something. He was doing something completely innocent. Like in Cleveland, where we used to go to school, there was incidents as well. I think Tamir Rice, he was from Cleveland. Like this is clearly not an isolated incident of racism against Black people. So it's pretty eye-opening to me that, you know, like the police were created not just to like be justice, like people that defend justice. It was actually very biased from the very beginning. And it's been a symptom of racism in this country, you know, since the very beginning, like when this country was founded. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy that this has been happening for hundreds of years, and you would think that it would be over by now, but it's very clear that this discrimination is very present today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. It really is unfortunate. And I think it's just part of the human condition, is that so often our brains are triggered to identify others based on stereotypes or how they look, and that can sort of bleed into the actions of how do you treat others. And I'm really happy that I mean, I'm really sad that this incident occurred, but I'm really happy that more and more people are just becoming aware of that institutionalized racism, and that it's not just in the quiet anymore, but that everyone's researching more about it. A lot of people are donating, a lot of people are out there doing protests, and I also, hopefully this will motivate a lot more people to go out and vote and just create a change in the institution, because yeah, I think I really like what you said, Sungyeon. I think another time was that this is a movement and it's not a moment. And even though the previous incidents of police brutality weren't as nationally recognized or internationally recognized as George Floyd, I think this whole thing was brewing.
What do you guys think? So, you know, there's two major things that are very prevalent in 2020. One is the coronavirus, and the other one is obviously George Floyd and everything that's been happening now. But when I think about it, a lot of the problems that arose, or like the big problems that arose, I feel like could have been prevented if we had taken initiative and taken action. I mean, for like the coronavirus, for example, America didn't really start taking initiative until it became kind of like to the point where we needed to, or else it would have gotten a lot worse. Whereas in other countries, like how everyone has been praising South Korea for being as proactive as they did, like decrease the numbers, like substantially. And like in America, where, you know, I think we started taking this very seriously in like March, whereas other countries started taking this very seriously in like January, February, because people were talking about how there was this like missing month of February where we didn't do anything, while other countries were like trying to like figure the things out, like how do we like calm this like pandemic or like this crisis. And then kind of like seeing that, and kind of seeing this whole George Floyd incident, and how, you know, we had talked about how like systemic racism has been going on, and like we were proactive. Like, I'm not saying like, and no one was like doing anything about it. Like, there were people that were support advocating for the pandemic, for coronavirus, and as well as there's people who are fighting for systemic racism, like MLK like did for a long time ago. But like, do you guys think that there are other like deeper issues? Like, for example, I think one of them for me is like kind of being reactive and not initiating as like a problem. Or do you think you don't see this as a bigger problem, and there are other issues that we need to deal with?
I think one of the big problems might be just the idea of unity. You mentioned like South Korea or other countries to take quicker action on things like coronavirus or other governmental issues. And I think the reason why other countries are able to take action faster is because the people and the government itself they have a united front. In America, we're always just encouraged to voice our opinions. And the thing is that there's a lot of people in America and everyone has different opinions. And I think you see that really well in the government as well, where it's hard to pass laws or bills without a lot of arguments, a lot of just criticism of each side. And I think that's what caused something like the response to coronavirus, where I agree, it was very delayed. And I think some people were saying that like, oh, coronavirus is just something to get people into the hospital to implant chips into their brain so the government can track them or something like that, and that coronavirus wasn't true. Others were saying that, oh, we should get started on the quarantine and make sure that we have proper disease control. So there was a lot of different opinions that I think clash against each other that delay that type of response. And I think that's the same in terms of responding to things like police brutality, is that I think we're coming more on a more united front. But I think previously a lot of people were probably disagreeing that whether police brutality existed at all, or whether it was the fault of the African American or the police. And I'm just really glad that this whole incident has united a lot more people to just really make it known that there is a fault on the, or there is flaws in the police system, and that change is needed. So I'm hoping that this will push more and more people to agree with each other, and then just to take action and stand up for just social justice.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, I think 2020 was like this kind of like big year where a lot of the underlying issues that face like not only America but like the world kind of came into surface, and now like we have a chance to like fix what's wrong, and like we have a chance to make things better. I don't think we'll be making anything perfect in this year, but like we definitely like shouldn't go back. Like we should learn from our mistakes and we should like move forward. And I think this is a very big wake-up call, and it's a very good like learning point for all of us. And I think that is what I'm excited about amidst this all this like protesting and all that's happening with the coronavirus, is like how much better we'll be, and how much of a better society will be in the future. Like as you said, like unity, like one of the biggest things that I can think about was like minimum wage. And I know there was a bit of like argument and controversy about that, but like because of the whole like pandemic, like minimum wage, like hopefully, like I think people are united in thinking that like, you know, people should have a minimum wage of at least like $15, or like we should have an increased amount, because like, you know, with this pandemic, like people were struggling, and like they couldn't afford much. But like after the pandemic, like this whole issue about minimum wage has surfaced, and now hopefully with more people united, we'll see some kind of improvement. And I think that's the same thing about like what we're talking about with systemic racism and like police force brutality. But
yeah, no, I think I agree with you. I'm really excited to see changes come out of this. And I think one of the fields that I am really excited to see change in is just the health industry. Like I mentioned, how America has responded to coronavirus has really just made apparent health discrepancies across different races. And one of the things that we're taught in med school is just how to be aware of caring for others in a way that's equally driven, and how to do it in a just viewing the patient as a person rather than like a color or like an income or a social status. And I really hope that out of this incident that a lot more people in the healthcare industry will just treat people of all races and of all social statuses more equally. And I hope that this has also encouraged me to do that as well.
I do want to kind of steer us back into more about the actual incident. I feel like so I totally agree. I think this is a great opportunity for people to become more educated and to push themselves to be uncomfortable about racism and inequality in general. But I think it's also important to, you know, use this time to specifically focus on the Black community and racism against Black people. I remember, so like when we were starting this podcast, one thing that, you know, kind of sparked this podcast is we wanted to focus on injustice in the world. And like one of the things is we saw like there are like these people in China who are called the Uyghur Muslims, and they've been facing a lot of discrimination. There's a lot about them that you can find on the internet as well. It's pretty bad. But the thing is, we felt like we couldn't really do much about it, probably because there isn't that much information about it. Because, you know, it's in China, it's not confirmed statistics. And then also because it's in China, right? It's far away. It's across the globe. We're not proximate to that situation. And so me personally, I felt kind of like, you know, I wish I could help, but I can't really do much about it. This incident with George Floyd and with Black racism against Black people in the United States is happening now. It's happening here. And we know what's going on. We have information. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel like I personally want to focus on tackling this issue of racism against Black people specifically here. And yeah, and I agree. It's a pretty exciting time to, like, you know, we're kind of starting to see some change happen, right? Like, there has been some heavier charges against Derek Chauvin, the police officer. I think I read a statistic that in Minneapolis, 99% of the cases against police officers, like for violence or something, had failed. And so this is already a pretty good step in starting to, you know, make police officers more accountable for their actions. Mm-hmm. And that's great. I think this is really good. But I also feel like I'm kind of afraid, I guess. I'm kind of afraid that that I'm going to take this for granted and be like, oh, you know, change is going to happen. It's already starting. It's already on the way. You know, in a few years, everything's going to be okay. But I feel like that's how people felt, you know, during MLK. Like, I feel like that's what people felt like when, you know, like, slavery was abolished, Emancipation Proclamation. And the thing is, it's not where it should be at this point. And I'm scared that I will assume that things are going to get better, and I'm not going to take part in helping and supporting the movements.
Mm-hmm. What are some ways that we can help then? Do you guys know of any ideas?
Well, I think one thing that we can do is give money. We can donate to funds like Black Lives Matter. Like, people can protest in their local communities asking for change. I think, like, in America, like, since we're a democratic society, we've been given the ability to vote. And I think voting is very important, because if you see in the news, there are a lot of injustices going on in the news itself with our leaders, and not even in, like, nationwide leaders. Like, it could potentially be in our local communities as well. And, like, we've been given this ability to vote and potentially, like, change leaders depending on who we want in these positions. So I think voting is a very important thing. I think the presidential election is going to happen this year, if I'm not mistaken. And so that and, like, local communities. And as well as I think we can spread the news, you know. I think a lot of, like Songyeon said, like, there's a lot of people posting on Instagram and, like, sharing on Facebook and just other, like, social media platforms. And I think that's one of the greatest things about the internet, is that we're able to get these resources and we're able to spread information very quickly. And I think for people that are listening that may not know, like, how to get started, like, there's plenty of information and sources that you can use to not only educate yourself, but also help as well. It doesn't need to be a significant contribution, but I think every small contribution made by every single person impacts significantly towards this greater cause that we're trying to fight for. What about you guys?
Yeah, I didn't mean to, like, be too... I feel like I sounded a little accusatory, but no.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, like, what you guys are saying are pretty good points. It's pretty cool to see how you can, like, connect what's going on now with, like, you know, like, for June, like, you're a med student, you're connecting it with how you can be a better doctor, right? I think that's super important. Like, there's so many different ways to support, and it doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to, like, not everyone needs to go out and protest in person. Not everyone has to, like, post on Instagram. Yeah, there's definitely many different ways you can help support.
Yeah, and Sonya, I don't think what you were saying came off as accusatory at all. I actually appreciate that we were getting back on track, because in the end, this incident isn't really about us. It's about improving social equality for African Americans in this country and just everywhere. And I really appreciate the fact that you brought in the idea of that you're scared about whether we're going to take this change for granted, especially because I think for us as non-African Americans, I think sometimes we just let the world around us just rotate around, and that the world will just handle itself in its own way in time and its own course. And I think this is a really good chance for us to get more involved, to talk about this and to educate ourselves on how we can be more active in our communities. And I think one of the biggest ways that we don't take this for granted is just education and just those types of actions that really show that we care. And I think Youngjin went over a couple of them. And one of the things that I really want to learn more about is just how racism has permeated through America. And not only the police force, but in other departments as well. And I really want to take this opportunity to just encourage people who are listening to us and just also ourselves to talk with people around us, because I'm sure we have friends or colleagues who are more involved and more knowledgeable about this type of situation. And just other things such as reading books about things like white supremacy or police brutality. And I think a couple good books that we had to recommend was one by Layla Saad called Me and White Supremacy, and another one by Ibram X. Kendi, which is How to Be an Anti-Racist. But I think that education and just learning more and being more cognizant of who we are and how we treat others and how society treats others is a really good step for just creating that type of change and getting involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I also want to say, like, you know, like during these times, it's easy to get kind of heated, which is completely valid, of course. But also, I see a lot of stuff going on around on social media that's very antagonizing and very, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel like there's ways to start dialogue that will help people, like, encourage them to become more educated. And yeah, and I think that's going to make a big difference. Like, you know, encourage people to read these books that we mentioned, encourage them to actively seek out their own, kind of like kindle their own fire for their fight for social justice. Yeah.
Yeah. I also just want to add is especially when emotions are heated and there's a lot of polarity, I think it sometimes makes people scared to voice their opinions, scared to learn more in case that their thoughts might just be so wrong. And I just really want to encourage that part of education is saying what is on your mind and what you think so that you can learn from your mistakes and also just feedback from others. So as you just dialogue with the others, I just really encourage you to just really speak what's on your mind with the purpose of learning more and fixing in what ways you might be thinking incorrectly or in what ways you might be thinking correctly. And I think that sort of goes back to that whole unity thing is that by dialoguing and by improving on oneself, I think we're all going to go more and more of a united front. And hopefully that will produce individual changes, but also community-wide changes as well. So I think we all brought up some pretty good points, and I really just enjoyed the dialogue that we had. And I just wanted to, since we're coming near our end of our session, I wanted to just re-emphasize and just gather some of the ways that we can get involved, especially since, as Hongyu mentioned, it's in our own backyard. And I think we should get ourselves involved and learn more. I think one of the active things that we can do outside of education and just dialoguing with others is, again, voting. I think that's really important. And the general election for the presidential election is this November 3rd. And the general election deadline for most states is in early October. So please just check that you're registered to vote. I think that I'm not sure when the deadline is exactly for registration, but it's state dependent. So please research that. And I would also just encourage you to research your candidates. We're not trying to pressure you to vote for a certain person, but I really want to encourage you that you understand how your candidates feel about things like police brutality or racial discrimination or social injustice. And I think those are really things to make sure that you have right about your candidate, just so that we as a whole are encouraging social justice and equality. The other thing that we really encourage, or if you have the resources to do, is to donate to Black Lives Matter. They're the primary organization in charge of moving for liberty for African Americans and acting against police brutality. So we think that they're a good national organization to support. And I think the last thing we have is just a call for you guys to recommend to us on good resources or ways that we can improve the way that we think or the way that we act. And we really welcome any comments or any feedback that you guys can give, not only about how we podcast, but also things like this, where we're just really hoping to learn more.
If you, the viewers, want to hear more about this, definitely go online, search it up, Google it. It'll probably come up. And yeah, look at all the other resources that we had mentioned, but I think this is all the time that we have. If you like us, please follow us on Instagram as well as on Anchor as well. And then follow and then subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we'll be posting very nice, pleasing YouTube video covers along with this podcast, so you guys can just listen to it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's all the time that we have. So catch you guys in the next one.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.